This is Radio Influence.
Good evening, everyone. It is Friday, June 8th, 2018. Welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
me and her. See, I didn't know how you were going to do that. I thought you were going to say your name first, and then all of a sudden there's a silence.
You know, I was going to do that. I was going to say my name first, and I'm like, that ruins beans and Frank, Frank and beans. It ruins it.
How'd you get the beans above the Franks?
They usually are, aren't they?
No, the beans don't come. The Frank comes above the beans.
You put the beans on the bun first?
Well, sometimes. Oh, I'm making a something about Mary reference.
Oh, oh.
I mean, that's how'd you get the beans above the Franks?
I haven't watched that movie in a really long time. Now I remember.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know what's funny? I normally don't talk about stuff like this, but it kind of flows in here. I have begun to play a certain game of cards with my family, and we were over playing, and my dad's name is Frank, and
I didn't know this.
Yes, and we made stands. We made little stands for our cards, and we put labels on them, and I put beans on mine, and I'm on his team. So we have another Frank and Beans.
That's awesome. What game was it?
Pinochle.
Oh, I never played it.
It's freaking great.
I was just teaching my niece and nephew 2 weekends ago how to play Briscola with the Italian cards.
I never played that before.
It's great. It's almost like an Italian form of spades, but you can play with either two people or four people. Whereas in spades, you need teams of two. So, but it's great. It's a lot of fun, and it's a fast moving game too. We used to play a lot of that in high school.
I like spades. This is kind of the same. This is a game of strategy. This is a game of intense strategy with your teammate. And it's like running a counterintelligence investigation in a game of cards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have to be able to navigate through the game and work together without discussing anything with each other. You can't communicate. Leaks are not allowed.
Right.
Leaks of information are not allowed. You have to be able to just gauge how everybody else is stacking up based on what you have. And based on how everybody just, makes the assessments of how many books they can win. And that's all you have to go on. And then everything else is just instinct. And I love the game.
It sounds like the same game, but just with Italian cards.
Well, you're talking about spades and briscola?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pinochle.
Yeah. Same thing. There's differences, but still. But pinochle, it's just a name I know. I don't know anything about the game at all.
We'll have to do that when I come visit one day.
You got it.
Speaking of leaks not being allowed, what happened yesterday? What happened?
Mr. Wolf.
Do you think he's with Russia?
I don't know. If you pronounce it that way, it kind of sounds like it can go that way. It can go German. Who knows?
So the Justice Department, under the supposedly dormant Jeff Sessions, has put out an indictment and arrested James A. Wolf, a leaker who was one of the he was a staffer for the Senate Intelligence Committee, correct?
For decades.
Yeah, since 1987, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was leaking like a sieve to four reporters from different outlets across the mainstream media cesspool, one of whom he was sleeping with, Ali Watkins, and watching what's happening to her on Twitter is painful. But she's made a bunch of jokes on her Twitter page in the past about, you know, House of Cards, and I wanted to be what did she say? I wanted to be so and so until she slept with
Zoe?
Yeah.
Zoe Barnes.
Yeah, until she slept with the congressman, and she basically poo-poos it. Meanwhile, now we know she's been sleeping with this guy, Wolf, who's like 30 years her senior for a couple years. She stopped in December, apparently, when all this started percolating. And she blamed all these leaks that were happening in this very committee on the Trump team months back.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? And, you know, going back to Jeff Sessions for a second, I know that there's a lot of people who don't trust him. And from the get-go, there's been just as many people saying to get rid of Sessions as there have been people say to trust him. All I'll say is that I would trust Jeff Sessions a lot less if he were any more vocal than he was. The fact that he has been so to himself and quiet has given me the most reason to trust that he's doing something. I don't believe that this is a man who is just, you know, picking his teeth in his office and kicking back and just letting his term run out. I do not believe it. And his silence has actually been the biggest thing that has given me confidence in what might be coming.
Let me tell you, I'm so thankful that you said that, because it's lost on a lot of people. And I think it's a lot of the reason why is because of this spin that we get from like the mainstream, even supposedly conservative media. You know, I'm sorry to say, Sean Hannity is one of the biggest offenders of this. Attacking Sessions for not doing anything, for sitting on his hands. You're absolutely right. This guy runs a leak-proof Justice Department. We had no idea there was a U.S. attorney working with Michael Horowitz until he told us.
And he told us in a pretty almost like, if you weren't listening close enough, you would have missed it kind of way. So you know,
the reason why he was forced to tell us is because the media, Sean Hannity included, was going nuts with the, we need a second special counsel. We need a second special counsel talk.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah,
even that didn't stop them. That slow down the calls for the second special counsel, which is as we're seeing, it's as public and it is as distracting as anything. I mean, if you can get the same kind of efficiency out of appointing a special prosecutor to work alongside of the inspector general and just start picking things off and going after things as you see them develop or uncover themselves before you. Oh, my gosh. It's the same exact thing that you're getting supposedly out of a special counsel. Only thing is, the special counsel is so public. That it just creates a circus.
Yeah. And you know, to be quite honest, Goodlatte actually on Sean Hannity's show let us know that there was a grand jury impaneled for the special prosecutor. And Hannity just glazed right over it. I mean, it's like it's frustrating for those of us like me and you and a lot of other people that are really digging into the details of this stuff that's happening. And, you know, we've talked about before, like, we need the outrage and the public kind of like fervor regarding this. But at the same time, we don't want this to become a witch hunt against officials who are actually doing their jobs. And some people argue that Hannity is doing all this on purpose. I think it's overkill. Do you think so? I just...
That Hannity is being contrarian in this way is on the DOJ issue on purpose?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it might just be an authentic personal position. I know a lot. I mean, Dan Bongino has been he has some stances on special counsel and whether or not Robert Mueller should be fired or allow this to play out to its rightful conclusion naturally that are different from other people. And I just think, and I don't question anybody's intentions or their love of the rule of law, but sometimes people just have personal stances that make you scratch your head or maybe that you don't understand. I don't know. I have no clue.
I don't know. All I know is, Frank, that I've spent like me and several other people have spent hours detailing all of the stuff that Sessions is doing behind the scenes, and it doesn't matter. People still say he's a swamp creature. He's corrupt. He's not doing anything. He's part of the swamp, you know, or he's compromised or whatever. And their facts to back that up are loose at best. Mm. So it's just permeated people.
I'm with you. I'm actually right now. I'm trying to scroll through Allie Watkins' Twitter to see if there's any pictures of her because I can't. I want to see better pictures.
She looks like an establishment liberal with, you know, one of those hippies.
I see she got the problem glasses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem. There's a problem and I'm going to find it. There's a problem and I'm going to find it and I'm going to solve it. That's what the glasses tell me.
Yes. So
Well,
Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse posted a Twitter status update yesterday. James Wolf is the leaker. And then reporter one is Manu Raju at CNN. Very interesting. Reporter two is Ali Watkins at The New York Times. Three is Mariana Sotomayor at NBC. And four is Brian Ross.
Ah, Sir Market Crash himself. There he is. So, hello, Brian.
Yeah, does that make you think in retrospect maybe that leak was on purpose to weed him out as one of the guys?
I don't know. You know, now this is what Wolf was giving people was information just on Carter Page, how investigators were interfacing and subpoenaing Carter Page. That's what the crux of all this was. Or did what he was leaking go beyond Carter Page?
This thing here, what they're charging him with, is actually lying to the FBI. Mm-hmm. So what's detailed in this indictment is just him lying, not necessarily every piece of information he provided. So what I think they're doing is rolling him to get some bigger fish.
Gotcha. Because the lying to the FBI is once again one of those parking ticket type things that really just carries a fine. And if you depending on what kind of a stickler of a judge you have, maybe a year or two in jail. So to give somebody like him immunity, and I want to talk to you about immunities, but so maybe giving somebody like him a plea deal might be able to open up new doors, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. And given his connections to some of the swamp rats that we know about, let's just say staffers that are now working to continue the Steele dossier. It's going to be interesting. Now, what's interesting about this to me, too, before we go into immunity, is that this indictment, if you look at it, like they denied knowing each other, Ali and woof. They denied knowing each other. And it says that they met actually in stairwells, in noisy restaurants, like in places where they could kind of hide what they were doing. But can you imagine? Like, this is like a TV show.
She really is Zoe Barnes.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Right? Good for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Thing is, Zoe Barnes got hit by a train at the end of season two, and now this one is just getting rolled up in public. It's going to be. But here's the thing: receiving all this stuff, I know that the press has a little bit more protection for receiving this stuff. What I don't understand is, you know, I'm totally down with our agencies making sure that leaks. They're doing everything they can to stop leaking, okay, within their own ranks, and to prosecute whoever's doing that. But as far as the reporters who receive this stuff, I can't fault them for using it. What I don't understand the relationship and where the relationship between reporters and people who are willfully taking information that is not supposed to be made public, at least just yet, because it doesn't have to be. The thing about all this classified information stuff and leaking is that it doesn't have to be something of major national security implications. The reason why stuff is classified and confidential until a time where it's appropriate to make it public is it could be for something as mundane as a small criminal trial, where you need to make sure that things are kept in place before things can be revealed. It doesn't have to be some major nation melting material.
Or a $77,000 coffee table at the FBI.
Exactly.
Or conference table, sorry.
A $15,000 hammer, something like that. I don't know. So I understand where it's almost like the rule of law. You apply it to one piece of information, whether it be small, you apply it to big information, whether it be the greatest secrets that our nation has kept. What I don't know is what legally happens to people like Ali Watkins if they're actually engaging in a relationship for the express purpose of being able to siphon out this information. It's one thing to have it just plopped in your lap or receive an anonymous email. And I mean, what are you going to do? You're a reporter. You have the First Amendment by your side. And this is information that is now out of the secure confines of the government, and it's in your possession. I don't, even though it might be detrimental and it's a matter of taste and whether or not you want to put yourself out there and do that kind of a thing, publishing it as a matter of law, I don't see why you shouldn't be able to do it. But what do you think, Tracy? Mm. What is this relation? Where does the relationship between a person like Ali Watkins and Mr. Wolf get crazy? Is it really, is all the responsibility just going to be on Wolf?
I think that the fact that she lied, see, it's a slippery slope, in my opinion. Like, I know people that argue that these sorts of leaks, not these particularly, but journalists leaking information that was provided to them has put the well-being of men and women in uniform at risk. And we could debate this for three shows straight, right? So I'm gonna say it's a fine line, and I'm not exactly sure which side of the line I lay on, but she lied about him giving her the information to the FBI. Does she get a pass because she was lying to protect a source?
I don't see. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And I think that if you were to ask that question to some people, their opinions on what she would get a pass or not get a pass on would be largely dependent on what the information that was provided to her was. What kind of impact would this information that she received have if it was made public? Was it small beans kind of a thing, or was it a real big fish kind of a thing that she really screwed up an investigation or an ongoing criminal process or a national security issue, whatever the hell it is? I think people's opinion on that would change based on the information she actually received.
You know what's interesting? You're right. And you know what's interesting about it that you bring that up? It's not like a Montgomery or a Snowden or even like any of the other. This was like sort of like gossip leaks, in my opinion, about, you know, who was subpoenaed and who was coming in to testify to further advance the Russian collusion narrative. So it was almost like propaganda leaks in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. If anything, this highlights that the relationship between our media and between the government, which is pretty much is close to an autonomous roving animal right now. That is, we know that the DNC and the media are one in the same. So many of the holdovers over the years in there, and the DOJ and elsewhere, and the State Department, we know what's going on there. If anything, this just highlights that there is a very, very incestuous and sick relationship that is still so strong between the media and people inside government who are working in tandem to promote one way of thinking about world events, about self-governance, about the country in which we live. That's the thing here. So whereas I can't go above and beyond to say, well, everybody needs to hang for things like this that might be a lot smaller than other offenses, what I would like to say is that we need to make sure that this is really explained to people so that when we go forward, the people we elect, the ideas that we push, the things that we're vigilant over in going forward, that is the most important thing here, because we need to put people in. We need to send people to represent us who are going to make sure that the government is stocked full of people who hate this kind of behavior.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And we also need to do one other thing that I think is super crucial to this whole thing. We need to strengthen whistleblower protections so that people can feel comfortable going through the right channels to, you know, blow the whistle on things that they see that are not above board in our government and elsewhere. That's been something that has been kind of more of it's been looked at a lot more seriously under this administration, believe it or not. And, you know, they'll make the case that Barack Obama was a huge whistleblower protection advocate. That's nonsense. So that's that part of the whole story. But I really find it interesting that he was charged on just lying to investigators, especially. You know, I'm going to bring up the Awan brothers case that's coming to fruition now, and that nobody talks about. You know, you have these these contradictions everywhere with the media. They're talking about this whole quote Russia collusion thing, and how it all originated with the DNC leaks, and then you have these brothers who nobody's reported on for outside of Luke Rosiak from the Daily Caller News Foundation. God bless that outlet lately. That have been, they basically worked with 50 something members in the Democrat side, stealing information and Dropboxing it out of the country. And nobody said a word about it. So, and that's really happening in court.
And also the access that was revoked to them was they were still accessing things afterwards, had passwords to, I forgot what the insane ratio or not the rate, the fraction of how many out of the entire Democrat House members, how many members they had access to.
I think there were only 10 that they didn't.
It's remarkable. And especially when you think about all of the types of deals that were being made, all of the things that were going on within our government over the time that they had access to this stuff. And then, of course, you have just the protection, the cover fire that was laid down by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, threatening Capitol Police for touching their servers, labeling people Islamophobes for what? For something that is just so out of balance, how the way that these brothers, this whole entire family, in fact, was given access to our most sensitive information and most sensitive people's email. It's
secrets. It's state secrets. They had everything. And they were called out. Like, that's the thing that people, I don't think people understand. The inspector general for this committee called out what was happening. Most of the people fired him. She refused to fire him and then accused anyone who questioned her of being Islamophobic. And then on top of it, she kept him on board when he wasn't supposed to have access to the network. And she continued to give him access. And then he leaves her laptop in a phone booth with her password on it and a note that says attorney-client privilege, like protecting the laptop. That's what she got into the argument with the cop about, with the police chief. She wanted that back because it was her property, and he was saying it's part of an investigation, and she was arguing the privilege aspect without saying it. It's just it's a huge scandal, and the fact that nobody at CNN, the New York Times, or any other Sean Hannity talks about it, but hardly anyone talks about it. And when they do, they don't get into details. Go to the Daily Caller under Luke Rosiak. He has a catalog of information and details for everybody. They're going to be pleading on the 3rd of July. I'm really interested to see what comes out with that.
Yeah, indeed. It's amazing to see what is summarily ignored and what is given all the resources in the world.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Especially speaking of that, we had one Andrew McCabe come out the other day asking for criminal immunity if he were to testify in front of Grassley's committee. Criminal immunity.
Well, you know, Tracy, let me ask you something. I was talking about this the other night on the show, and I'm just asking the question out loud. Why, when we're looking at all of the people who are, this is what I'll say. When you look at how George Papadopoulos, and I know that we have to talk a little bit about him too, George Papadopoulos and Carter Page were treated as a way to get into the Trump campaign. And we're looking at all the players that surrounded them, all of the international intelligence agents, all of these people. And of course, that's just one part of the story where you look at these small, you get in with these smaller fish to be able to see if you can hook a bigger one using them as bunker bait. Now, on the other side of that, the Carter Page FISA warrants and George Papadopoulos being fed information or being fed phrases about Russians having compromising emails on Hillary Clinton from Joseph Mifsud. And then, of course, with that information, he gets fed into the hands of people like Alexander Downer and Stephen Halper and all these people. You know, it's very, very interesting how that all played out. On the other side of things, you had the creation of the dossier. You had how that was brought back into our country and pretty much whitewashed and laundered back into the country and then disseminated by members of by the head of our CIA, the ODNI, everybody, the top people, the
unmasked.
Oh, it's senators, the unmasking with Samantha Power and Susan Rice. You're talking about every last person who surrounds Barack Obama. He did not know. That's the only fish that's bigger than all of the fish we already have.
You're right.
So,
you're right.
So what I want to know is in what case would giving Andy McCabe immunity help out what is already glaringly obvious? So, you know, what do you think is at the crux of this immunity request or anything like that? What could possibly be gotten from this?
I don't know. This is my thoughts on it. We know that the committees need to provide oversight into, you know, the Justice Department, et cetera. And that's why they want to have this testimony about this report. But he's asking basically for immunity from everything, because he could sit down in there and spill things that we've never even heard. You know what I'm saying? Not even related to this. And then be held to that standard when he gets out. And I just don't know what leverage he has left to be able to wield, like you said. And we need his test. We need him. Not we need him, but there's a special prosecutor working this right now with 400 attorneys and a grand jury. Granting Andy McCabe immunity at this point, look at what he's facing. By the way, the judge that just indicted this leaker is also the judge who's holding Andy McCabe's criminal referral, just to let you know. And it's a Trump appointee.
Oh, the Lou?
Yeah. Yep.
I like her.
Yeah, she's actually doing the right thing. So I don't think that there's, I mean, I don't know, is this like a last ditch effort? I went over his rebuttals, his attorney's rebuttals, in a video this week, and they contradict themselves on this one leak. I just think it's a last ditch effort at begging for some sort of leniency, which I don't feel like this man deserves. Look at the list of crimes we know he's committed so far. Can you imagine how long he's been in the Bureau or been in government, how much he's done in his career? He deserved? No. Nuh-uh. Mm-mm. Sorry. Yeah. No deals.
You know, wasn't it people who, was it ever confirmed that McCabe was the one who said, first we F Flynn, then we F Trump? Was that ever confirmed, or was that just a rumor that was being passed around for a while on these inside meetings prior to 2017.
I've seen so many people say it that are reputable to me that I think it's confirmed. I just am trusting other people. Every time I do that, I get screwed, just to let you know. Yeah. Something comes back to bite me on it. But yeah, I think that it's first we F Flynn, then we F Trump, that quote.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's just circumstantial. And it's actually, I haven't seen any big time stuff out there. All the real things that will get any of these people to get thrown in jail. I mean, that's all open source stuff. Now you have contradictions under oath. You have contradictions talking to the press. I mean, everything that anybody says is recorded by at least three media devices. So all you need to know about what these people's scheming has wrought is all out in front of us. But, you know, just interesting.
It is now, interesting.
Because they did start off very, very confident. They seem like they started off very confident in their plans.
Yes. And the it's funny because the video that I just did right before we started recording this, which is it needs to be redone, apparently, and it didn't upload correctly, which is frustrating. I make the contrast between Papadopoulos's wife in December and Papadopoulos's wife this month. And the difference in tone, back then it was pretty much like, oh, let's hang this guy for Russia collusion, talking about Trump. Now the tone's much different, given what we know that's come out. And speaking on that point, we've found over the past week a lot of new text messages that have been taken into different contexts now that we know more information between Strzok and Page. Nick Falco on Twitter found one about those lures that they used from overseas. President Trump picked up that tweet, basically, and used the information inside of it. And so did a bunch of other mainstream media folks. And then I found one that said from the Patriot Act to a wire carrying current that happened to coincide with the same date Admiral Rogers revoked the 702 access for private contractors. So in retrospect, we're starting to figure out more now with what we've been given in an open source fashion that's really making what we're doing. I had this conversation with someone the other day, Frank, is what we're doing right now, even us, is removing the leverage that these people have. And that's why it's dangerous what we do in open source journalism, because as we remove their leverage, they don't have anything to hold over Person X anymore because it's in the public sphere. And then Person X is screwed. So that's why they target people that do open source work, because it's all there for you to see. But if you don't put it together the right way, it's useless.
That's it. And, you know, Frank Zappa, I love listening to Frank Zappa interviews, and he once said, you know, they asked, you know, what news do you watch? What news do you consume? He goes, I just watch whatever's on television. The whole point is when you're consuming news, your first skill you need to be able to do is separate whatever information is in there from the spin. Once you're able to separate the spin from the information, then you're slowly able to piece together what might be going on. Now, if you are a partisan person, then of course you love the spin because it gives you that comfy, cozy feeling. But what you were talking about before about why this is so dangerous is spot on. And I'd like to add just a little bit more to that. And that is just that when you have somebody like Nick Falco, who goes in to these text messages and is able to start seeing things in a new light based on how other open source investigations have been progressing and how that has been able to affect the public conversation. Well, that conversation is the biggest thing that has been stifled over the years of, you know, in past presidencies who, you know, were working in lockstep with this bureaucratic state, no matter what political party they belong to. But what Donald Trump is doing now is that he is forcing a media that had otherwise had their entire game plan and their modus operandi completely watertight and sealed shut and in a nice controllable environment there, he's forcing the hand of the media to cover what he's talking about. And why that is dangerous is even though the media will say that whatever Donald Trump talks about is skewed or an outright lie or something like that, it brings information and topics of conversation to the public sphere that has otherwise been choked off. And once you do that and people start poking around and asking even basic questions, they realize that all of the left's, you know, assumptions of the world fall apart under even the most basic of scrutiny. So it's very, very important in that way, because even if we don't get it all right all at once, the conversation has never been allowed to happen. And that's been my, at least my personal reason for doing what I do, is just because I don't give a shit about being the first one to a story or claiming a scalp or anything like that. The whole problem here is that there is no competition in the public sphere. And that's what open source investigations and a willing president has actually been able to bring to the table for people.
Well, if you don't have anything to hide.
Exactly. And all they have are things to hide, as we're seeing.
Yeah, but if you're the president and you don't have anything to hide, there's no shame in being honest.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing. Hey, look at this. I mean, he's saying what everybody else that has a brain is thinking, basically, and drawing attention to things, and they can't not cover it. They're forced to cover it. And he's a masterful, you know, like you said, he's masterful at it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yep. What I'm laughing at this point, back to this leaking thing, is how the media is trying to spin this at this point as this Wolf guy was bipartisan and, you know, he worked with both sides and, you know, trying to make it like fair.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it is fun. It is fun, as detrimental as this all is to mental health at times, because I have ups, I have up days, and I have real low days where I'm just, when you like, oh my gosh, the spin and the frustration, you just want to live in a world where everybody cares about the same thing, even if we have different opinions, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to do that. I know, because I, you know, we spend so much time on this stuff. Sometimes I just have to shut it off. We've talked about this before. You know, it's
weekends are key.
I know. I don't do it.
I have to.
I don't do it. I really don't. I need to do it more. I do. But I there's too much happening.
I'll put it to you this way, Tracy. They're very, very well. I mean, you're on a different level than I am as far as what you cover, because you also have yourself ready at a moment's notice to get on top of breaking news and to be able to plug in maybe a missing puzzle piece that has presented itself.
Yeah.
On my end, I talk for 2 hours a night. On Fridays, it's 3 hours. Obviously, the weekends are completely necessary. Or else I'll get nuts.
Yeah, like sometimes people talk about this a lot. Like sometimes I won't have a piece come out for like 5 days or so. You do it every day. The reason why I don't have a piece come out for 5 days sometimes is because it's 6 times 4, 28 hours of research to go into that piece that is an hour long.
Yeah.
And, you know, the quality of what I've put out since I've started doing this full time, I think has greatly increased. The quantity has decreased a bit. Only because I'm spending so much more time really making sure I've got everything straight, which is why I want to tell everybody that the OIG, Michael Horowitz, has just basically given us a date for the first time ever on the release of this IG report that we've been told will be about the Clinton email investigation and how the FBI handled it during the campaign. The 14th will be the day. Now, Horowitz has never given us a date. If he says the 14th, I think it's the 14th, which would be in 6 days from now on a Thursday. That helps me because I know I will be locked in my office 24 hours a day for approximately, I would probably say 7 to 12 or 13 days on this thing. 400 pages. Look what we found in the leak report from the Wall Street Journal, the Barrett leak, the OIG report on McCabe. That was 40 pages, and I was buried in that for several hours, what, like 12 to 14 hours, maybe a little more. So it's going to be a lot.
400 pages is going to take me forever to get through these days.
Think about how much is in there. Think about how much crap is in that report. Just think about it for a second.
Absolutely. And especially and the thinking about it, this too, you had Mr. Huber stand beside him the whole way while 400 pages were compiled from, you know, what was probably hundreds of thousands of pages.
Yeah. And you know that he can bring people in from outside to testify in front of a grand jury. I seriously, like, are they waiting to charge McCabe for this to come out so they can drop more on him at the same time? It actually just happens to be dropping on Trump's birthday.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. But I just want to tell people, like, they didn't work together per se. Like, Huber couldn't pass information back to Horowitz, as far as I know. But Horowitz could pass information to Huber. I might be wrong about that, but I don't think so. And also, I learned the other day that Horowitz also has oversight into the special counsel investigation.
Really?
Yes. Which is why he was...
That's probably why the text messages and all that stuff. Yeah, okay. So yeah. He had made his round. He had definitely taken a walk around the park. He started off with the email. And of course, that led to everywhere else. He probably is... I wouldn't be surprised if we get some really interesting stuff about Loretta Lynch here too.
Oh, we will. Absolutely. The tarmac meeting, I think, will be a big focus of this also.
It has. Well, listen, if you've already uncovered and you've already started dabbling with these text messages that have a direct link to the special counsel, because you had to tell Robert Mueller about what you found about people on his team over there. If you've already gone that far and it's all based on these text messages, we know the text messages say some really fascinating things about Loretta Lynch and James Comey and the her announcement and his announcement about, you know, prosecuting and promising to take whatever recommendations the FBI sends her, and them saying, well, that's really courageous, knowing that there's not going to be a recommendation coming down. And I mean, it had to have gone everywhere.
Yeah, literally everywhere, which brings me to my next point, which I'm going to find here. The language they use, first of all, there's a back and forth between Grassley and McCabe in terms of what the lawyer is saying he's allowed to say and what he's not allowed to say in the NDA. And he's blaming the FBI and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just looking for, because they don't say, when Horowitz responds to Sessions' request, or not Sessions, to Grassley's request for this hearing and when he'll be ready, they don't say the Hillary Clinton email investigation or the mid-year exam or anything like that. They say how the FBI conducted themselves in the, you know, up moving to the election. So let me see if I can find it here. It's basically, they don't mention the mid-year exam part of it. They say the FBI's conduct in the days before the 2016 election or whatever. So that's very broad, in my opinion. Horowitz, in his letter to Grassley, saying when that will be, when the release will be to the public, he specifically makes it a point to say this will not include, he says, let me tell you, I have it in front of me now. The election related review that is the subject of our forthcoming report is separate from the review that the OIG initiated in March of 2018 of the department and the FBI's compliance with laws, policies, and procedures in applications filed within the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court relating to a certain U.S. person. So he's saying this isn't the FISC stuff, guys. This is just, it would be the Office of Inspector General's forthcoming review of allegations regarding various actions by the FBI and the Department of Justice in advance of the 2016 election.
Mm.
So that could be more than the email investigation, if he found more.
Could be.
It's crazy. This report, people don't understand. Like, I know people think it's going to be a big nothing burger, and everyone freaked out the other day when they had that article about the immunity, or I'm sorry, they had the leak about what was in the report. And a lot of people thought, oh, look, it's just going to be everything blamed on Comey or, you know, whatever. No, they had nothing. The only thing they could spin in that entire article was the fact that Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch, and I quote, happened to meet.
Yeah. They stumbled upon each other.
Yes. Their planes bumped into one another.
Private jets bumped into each other, nose to nose.
Fancy seeing you here.
Oh, come on in.
And given what we know came out of, and again, I'm going to make this point, it just came to me again. Given what I was able to uncover in that IG report about Loretta Lynch's involvement with Eric Garner and all that stuff, I said, there's a reason why they're mentioning her in this report. And I was like, it's almost like they're dangling a carrot in front of us with her in this report, because that was weird. It came out of left field, and which is why it flagged me to begin with. And I think that she's going to be in a lot of trouble when this report comes out.
Based on that report, too, and you want to talk about media spin ahead of it. Now, outlets like CNN, well, even if you go back to the release, the memo.
Yep.
Okay, when the FISA memo came out, it was a 2-week buildup of how this was going to be detrimental to national security, and it's going to be the apocalypse, and people are going to die, faces are going to melt. When this comes out, it's going to be the worst thing ever. The day after it comes out, everybody very calmly and, you know, scoffing along, going, huh, it's a nothing burger. It's a nothing burger. Oh, really? Really? Well, why weren't you so calm the last couple of weeks? So it's do whatever you can to make sure that everybody knows that this is dangerous and it's just outlandish and it's ridiculous. People are going at great lengths to prove their political points on the right, the far right. And then, of course, when it comes out, to try to spin it as nothing. I covered an article last night from CNN Politics by Laura Jarrett and Evan Perez. And the headline was Justice Department internal report expected to fault former FBI and DOJ officials. Just listen to this first couple of sentences. The highly anticipated report from the Justice Department's Inspector General is expected to yield an unvarnished account of multiple missteps by by former top officials at the department and FBI for their failure to follow longstanding protocols in the handling of the Hillary Clinton email probe, according to sources. While sources caution, the report is not yet final and responses from the individuals named in the report will be included. The exhaustive review of the momentous period in the department's history is expected to criticize former FBI Director James Comey's handling of the investigation at key junctures for violating departmental norms. It's just the norm. It's just the norm. So, you know, even in the way that they are starting to prep what is about to come and how bad it's going to be, the language that they use makes it seem like James Comey and Andy McCabe put the return address on their stationery in the wrong part of the envelope or something. I mean, this is the most frustrating thing to me that makes me just want to go to sleep for days on end.
Well, it's also the same way that they mischaracterize the use of the word spy. Give me a break. I'm looking at an ABC News article that was basically like the first leak of what's inside this IG report, which kind of we had a little bit of this the day the memo dropped, and they say they've seen a draft of this thing. And one source told ABC News that the draft report explicitly used the word insubordinate to describe Comey's behavior. And the whole article is basically about Comey. And everybody, I mean, the article is damning, even as much as they try to spin it. And everybody thought, oh, look, the whole IG report is just going to be on Comey. I can guarantee you they have one page in front of them at ABC News right now. And it's horrible for Comey. So that's why you're seeing this report come out.
It's like that meme. It's like that cartoon meme where you have the dog that's sitting inside of the kitchen and sitting at the kitchen table on the chair, and the kitchen is on fire. The entire house is engulfed in flames, and this dog is just sitting at the kitchen table. And then the last frame of the comic book says, the dog says, "Oh, this is fine. Everything's fine." But he's just sitting in the middle of this engulfed house. And that's exactly what it is. It's really, really, it's really interesting to watch the behavior at this point.
I think that they, the fact that they can't make this, they really can't make this nothing. Like I said, this article I think was interpreted wrong, at least in my opinion. They are so screwed at this point. I mean, 400 pages, if it's anything like, I can't stop talking about it because we've been waiting for this for so long. It's what they do with it afterwards, but there is no way that this IG is working with this prosecutor for no reason. I'm sorry. I would be surprised if we didn't see indictments from this immediately.
Yeah. I just sent you a picture in the Skype message. Take a look. That's the cartoon I'm talking about.
Let me see here. How do I do that? Oh, there it is.
I mean, that's pretty much what it all is. The whole house is on fire. It's like, this is fine. Just sitting at the table with your cup of coffee.
The dog is smiling. The dog is smiling. He's like, yeah, this is great. It's all burning down. It's all burning
down. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss.
Ay, ay, ay. Bad news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad news. You know, we've got about, what, seven? We've got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything else we need to cover?
Well, we didn't talk too much about Papadopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. But, you know, it's just, it's all nonsense. It's there's nothing really much to say.
There is, but if we were to start talking about him again, we'd need another hour.
Another hour. But it's just, it's more confirmation. More confirmation. It's like you see the pictures developed, but it was black and white. And now, it tells the same story. You know, you watch a black and white picture. Is it really different from watching a picture in color? You can still see people. You hear what they're saying, whatever. It just lost some color. But the story is told in the exact same way. But it's like you put a little bit more blush on top of a picture that's already been developed, something that already doesn't make sense and something that doesn't add up, especially Papadopoulos and Carter Page and how they found themselves in the middle of all this stuff. And then you start seeing the people that pop up around them. They've been incubated. Who gives them information to pass along to the next person? Who that next person passes along to somebody, a friendly ally inside of the intelligence community? All of a sudden it ends up in a dossier. It becomes a surveillance warrant or something like that. It launches a counterintelligence operation. It's really It's just all obvious stuff at this point, but the picture keeps getting more shades of color.
Yeah. Yeah. And every shade kind of like, you know, it's, yeah, you're right. That's a good analogy. It's a very good analogy, actually. You're so smart, Frank.
That's what I do. I try to explain the world through movie clips and through references to The Office and stuff like that.
Well, speaking of shows, we could talk about this real quick. Have you ever watched Blacklist?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. You need to.
Is it network? Is that network or is that Netflix?
It is. It is network. I think it's NBC. It's NBC. It's so good. It's like this dude, he's wanted by the FBI, but he's dropped off the grid. And then all of a sudden one day, like top 10 wanted, horrible criminal FBI, used to, you know, be inside the FBI, I think. And then he leaves and he comes back. And one day he just turns himself in randomly and everybody freaks out about it. And then he starts working with them to get these criminals all over the, like, this high level, like massive international criminals. It's just amazing. I call things before they happen all the time. And my husband's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's going to happen. This is why he's doing that. It's good. It's good exercise if you're trying to figure out the espionage angle that's going on within our government right now.
Art imitates life. And that is why if you are able to really sit down, I was telling this too, that the reason why I'm so keen on making sure that I can do this a little bit more full time is because I need to watch more movies, especially going back and rewatching the classics. Because, you know, I was told by a really dear friend of mine and my family a long time ago. She was my first editor in just I wanted to write creatively and all that stuff. And she's a literature. She's got her. All of her degrees and masters and all that stuff. She's just a great literary mind. And what she was trying to tell me as she was editing my work, and we would have our little back and forths about art and whatever it be, film, because the writing and direction, whether it be performance art or something, a painting that you see, a still life, what really makes a piece of art or a television show or anything last? And what it really makes it stand the test of time is whether or not it speaks to the basic notions of human nature. Jealousy, greed, betrayal, joy.
Well, thank God you threw a good one in there eventually, for God's sake.
Oh, hey. Well, I know, but that's what it is. But joy, love, I mean, on the other hand, just lust. All of this stuff that it has driven us, all the impulses that we've been made to face personally as nations, as smaller communities, we are we got a rocket pack on us, a rocket pack of emotion. And all of that really plays out to the overarching story of us, of our us as nations, as a species in general. And I think that when you find a really, really good story, you can explain a lot about what seems confusing, because behind it all is just it's not the inner workings of the FBI and what protocols of the FBI is. What it really is it's human beings and what their motivations are and what drives them and who they're in bed with and what their ideas of the world are. And you can see all those same behaviors play out in the little cliques that you have in your personal life from grade school on up. And that's why it gets more and more easy or easier and easier to explain the world. And that's why I like to rely on art in a little bit of a way to make the allegory a little bit more apparent.
Beautiful, beautiful. And sometimes we're finding literally sleeping with or in bed with.
Oh, yeah.
Like yesterday.
That's it.
I have to be honest. I was listening to you, so I muted my mic because I had to take an allergy pill because it's crazy here. And I'm still having a hard time. Like, I was choking on this pill, listening to you talk and saying, like, frantically waving my hands around, like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Choking on this little allergy pill while you're saying.
Swallowing the pill is the worst part.
It is. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to do. Oof. All right, so we're going to end it a little interesting today. I had a little, I'm stealing this. I was on a show and somebody asked me, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm not doing mine. What is your favorite, tell your favorite joke.
A joke?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I don't know.
You don't have jokes?
I did. No. I maybe. Okay. Wait, there is. Okay. There is one.
Okay.
There's one that just came to mind, and I'm trying to get all the wording right, because if I screw it up, then it's not going to be much of a joke.
Oh, yes, it will.
Okay. Let's see. So there's a man's at law, a man, there, men are at law online at a convenience store somewhere. And somebody behind him started rubbing his shoulders and started poking at his back a little bit. Turns around, the one man turns to the guy behind him and says, "Hey, excuse me, you know, what the hell are you doing?" He's, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just seem a little tense?" He's like, "Okay, well, I'm not tense. Please don't touch me anymore." And so the guy behind him says, he goes once again. He starts putting his hand on his shoulder and he starts working on his back. And whenever he turns around, he says, "Sir, please, what are you doing?" He says, I'm sorry. I'm a masseuse. And when I just see somebody, I see somebody a little bit tense. I just want to get my practice in. This is what I do. It's all I know. I'm a masseuse." Guy says, "Well, listen, I'm a lawyer, but you don't see me fucking the guy in front of me." So that's
a good one.
And I told that joke to actually explain the reason why I believe Donald Trump should never sit down with Robert Mueller, to be honest.
I knew I remembered that from somewhere, honestly. I'm like, I've heard this before. Have I read it somewhere?
Yep, because I know that there's some very noble lawyers out there. People have picked up some very noble cases, and that they're out there. But I don't trust lawyers. I think that ultimately they're out there to do some pumping. And that's just what it is. I mean, they are employed to win no matter what the hell is going on. Even if they're representing a murderer, they're getting out there to make sure that he gets the best result possible, even being a murderer. So that's just my whole thing. It's a little bit cynical. Look at law. But that's my joke.
Speaking of attorneys, real quick before we wrap it up, Almost Jingo Rosie on Twitter brought to my attention the other day the fact that Felix Sater snapped a picture of himself and put it on Twitter. You know who he was standing with?
Who?
Gloria Allred.
Allred.
Now, why is it? Is it just he bumped into her in a hotel lobby, or is Michael Cohen somehow playing himself into this situation? I don't know. Well, this was a good show. What do you think?
I loved it.
Yeah. Good stuff. It is good stuff.
It gives me leeway on Friday nights to do things a little bit more esoteric on my show. And I can just tell people, hey, listen to Dark to Light for all of the big booming topics of the day with the headlines and political intrigue. It gives me a little bit more time to talk about demons and exorcism. You know,
next Friday. Yeah, I actually like listening to that stuff that you do and watching stuff fall off the walls behind you. Next week on Friday, we should have a whole lot to talk about. A
lot of it. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. You can find Dark to Light with
Frank and
Beans.
And we have to practice that.
You can find us on Apple iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com. Have a good night, guys.
Take care.
This is a Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
This church in Oakland, which is the First Congregational Church of Oakland, they want to start having their own classes, which I'm in agreement with. Here's why. Because they want to have classes on violence prevention, which makes sense. So I'm in agreement with that. And de-escalation. I'm in agreement with that. Conflict resolution. Yep. Retroactive justice, whatever that means. And mental health first aid and self-defense of self and community. Let me flip it just a little bit. If I'm a criminal and I hear, oh, you guys aren't going to call the popo, man, it's free reign, as far as I'm concerned, in the city of Oakland right now. What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and seek out the bad guy? Are you just going to go and pray and lay hands on the bad guy? It doesn't work that way.
Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.